revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living in the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today we have a return guest, someone who hasn't been on for a while, but every time she comes on, it's a spiritual connection. And I think it lets everybody feel that there's something bigger than yourself. Because I think we're too caught up with me, mine, and what I can do to help myself. And I think it's about looking outside of ourselves at this point. And I want to welcome back Dr. Anna Blessing. She's a frequency medicine doctor and visionary healer, and she's the founder of Tucson Biofeedback. After enduring years of chronic health challenges, she found relief through both conventional and natural medicine, and she embarked on a professional self-healing journey, discovering things like structured water and frequency technology in 2008. It marked a turning point, leading to a full recovery and awakening to the power of holistic root cause soul-to-cell healing. And that's what we're going to talk about today. It's one of the things that we had just a short conversation before the show, but I think there's so much negativity in the world. And if we really want to reach out past ourselves and our own limitations, it's important now to reach for spiritual and emotional growth. So I'm really, really pleased and blessed to have you on, Dr. Blessing, because it's a topic that people don't speak about. It's always something earth grounded, something temporal, and usually nothing that's positive. So this is going to be a conversation that I hope brings people back to what's important. So thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me. I'm very happy to be here with you again.
So from the standpoint of people growing and not letting outside influences affect them, because as we both know, mind and body are connected. And I'm seeing so many people come through my office with chronic diseases at a younger and younger age. And I have to think to myself, are they being caught up in this paradigm of negativity? You know, it's something, someone did something to you, you can't recover from, and it just pushes people down this emotional and physical spiral. Is there something that you think that's, am I wrong? Am I out of off base here? Or am I kind of hitting the mark from what you're seeing as well?
No, I'm seeing the same thing. I mean, I'm sure you're probably experiencing this, 30-year-olds getting diagnosed with Alzheimer's and cancers. And, you know, even when I was growing up, you really saw that, you know, after this, you turn 60 plus and it's happening younger and younger. And I have an interesting perspective on it, which has a little bit of a positive opportunity to view it, which is, I think with every new generation that we're coming in a little more spiritually aware, but we're still trying to fit into a world that no longer exists or can house a spiritual being having a physical experience. And so these lessons are kind of kicking our soul in the butt early on to try to get this shift that we so desperately need. And I believe that many of us are here to facilitate and usher in.
That's a great positive way to think about it. So, I mean, we're both medical doctors and we both have training that an experience that, in my opinion, and I don't know if you can speak to it as well, but was quite limiting. You know, it was very concrete, no thinking outside the box unless you had the wherewithal to do that. Is that some of the paradigm problem, that if it's not visible, if it's not something that can be in some way ordered, controlled, written a prescription for, that it doesn't matter or it doesn't have importance? And is that what people maybe are getting the inkling of, it's bigger than this and we should think outside the box?
Absolutely. It's the whole constructs of our reality has been based on a very linear way of looking at things, utilizing only one form of intellect, which is the mind. They've completely neglected emotional intelligence, spiritual intelligence, and in my opinion, one of the greatest gifts God has given us, which is our inner knowing. In fact, at a very young age, we're taught to override the inner knowing, which then creates sickness and illness because that inner knowing never goes away. We just silence it and it stores inside the cells, the body, and manifests as health issues earlier. And I can absolutely speak from personal experience that this is what I too did. And part of my healing was I had to unwind and these programs and these constructs and these beliefs in order to get to the root of where I locked myself away and kind of silenced my soul. So we really need to move beyond the intellect and the linear form of thinking because it doesn't work. We are so spherical. We are incredibly infinite and eternal beings created by God. And yet we're trying to stuff these amazing aspects of ourselves made in the image of the Creator into something man has told us to be. And it is literally killing us. And I think that that's why so many health issues are starting so young, because our soul as a collective consciousness is saying we can't live this way anymore. It's not working. We have to make a change. And if pain and suffering and health issues is the only way to get people's attention, which it does, we know this very well, then this is how we're going to have to do it until we can learn to reconnect with the divine inspiration and the innate intelligence within.
When you think about energy and the divine energy, which is flawless, really, how do we connect with that? I mean, it seems to me that, and correct me again if I'm wrong, that disease, there's an energetic aspect to disease. I mean, we're energetic beings. The cells all are basically batteries. And when we run ourselves down, then things go off track. And emotionally, we can literally just sap ourselves, can't we? Running in this loop of, I can't believe how many people, for example, I'm seeing with anxiety and depression at such a younger age. And you're seeing it when you look at the history, you know, the medical history. Yeah. I'd say 9 out of 10 patients either are anxious, depressed, or both. And they're young. I mean, I don't remember feeling any of that growing up. So is that energy drain, that feeling of helplessness that I don't know, being transferred or translated into this depression, this never feeling balanced and stable, is that the thing that runs down our energy and then makes it harder for us to recover and to detox and to be self-healing?
It's definitely a huge piece. Anxiety and depression, what I have found when people come in, and for myself as well, it was more of a secondary issue to a deeper cry. And when you don't feel well, when you're disconnected from who you're created to be and trying to be who you think you're supposed to be, depression and anxiety are going to be a byproduct of that disconnect. And depression is really holding expression in, meaning our true, what we really truly wish to say. And most people don't even know how to get there. I didn't. It took me years. When I would be asked, what do you want? I didn't know. I had to go on the journey to figure out what I wanted and needed internally, because so many masks, so many layers, so many expectations, projections covered that up for so long. You can get there, but it's not an overnight process either. It's an unwinding of that. And from a scientific perspective, they've already proven that they've had this proven for over 100 years. They just really didn't want this to be taught in medical schools or anything, which is that we are bioelectrical systems. Our cells carry a voltage, and when it drops below a particular voltage, sickness, illness, disease, and eventually death kick in. So when all of this density from heavy emotions, from constantly being immersed in negativity and division, and it's all to manipulate human behavior. It kind of goes back to Edward Bernays, which is Freud's nephew, and Freud did not agree with him. He wrote the book Propaganda, and he basically taught the medical system how to manipulate human behavior through using propaganda they used in World War I. It's quite a fascinating rabbit hole to go into, but it also helps us understand everything about the way this world works. If you understand that you are simply a cog in a propaganda machine, you can step back and allow the emotion that you're feeling, whatever charge they're trying to push at you, you can allow that to move through the body. The problem is, you know, emotion is energy in motion, but most of the time it doesn't move all the way out and through the form, and it stores inside. And as that builds up, it depletes our electrical charge in the cell and in the body. And then the actual energetic pathways, which are meridians in the fascia system, they do end up getting blockages. They store traumas, even witnessed, you know, if we're just watching news stories or reading some of the things that happened in our city, we are all connected and we are very, very empathic beings, all of us. And the ones who don't feel empathic is they just shut it down because it became too much. But that stores in us. Everything we witness, we hear, that's part of our diet. And I always tell people, shut off the diet that does not feed your soul, because otherwise you're working against your own healing.
Well, that was beautifully stated. And it's not like it's just news, is it? It's every aspect, whether it's sports, whether it's dealing with your colleagues at work, this whole political structure, it's just something gnawing at people or poking at them. And it's, how do you mean, obviously you find God to me is the respite, but how do you get people to become aware of that? Because it takes the ability to step back and have an overview, and everybody's very much in just in it so deep that they can't sometimes pull themselves out. It's just one emotional charge to, as you said, to the next. And it's like you're on this merry-go-round, you just can't get off. So for those people who want to try something and stop doing the same thing, expecting a different result, what are the first things that you tell people to get them to become more self-aware of what's happening?
Yeah, you said something that's super crucial, which is they have to want. Right? They have to want to heal and step outside of allowing themselves to just be charged all the time and manipulated through, we're human, so we're going to feel emotions. So if they want to, obviously in the clinic, I have a sequence of different techniques and tools that really help. They're passive because by the time they reach me here, they're exhausted. And so all of the treatments that I administer are incredibly passive. But where I engage them is with their mindfulness, their ability to step back and reflect. So if they're feeling a particular way, I just simply say, okay, say, does this feed my peace or does this disrupt my peace? And it's really quite simple. If you are feeling calm, peaceful, and in a safe space, then that is something that is feeding your peace. If you are feeling triggered, if you're feeling upset, then it is disrupting it. And that needs to be eliminated from your life. And if it's, sometimes it can be hard when it's in a family situation. If you're living with family that are not the healthiest and they're feeding that, you can change friends, but family, you can't. So in that case, you don't have to react to the things that are going on in the family. You can step back and start to become more of the observer rather than reacting and engaging with the family dynamics. So it kind of depends on the situation as well.
Got you. You know, we're going to take a break. So let's take our first break and come back, because I want to ask you more about techniques that people can use, like you just said, to just take a step back. So let's take our first break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living in Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Anna Blessing, and you can go to her website, TucsonBiofeedback.com, and you can learn more about what she does. And if you're in Tucson, I'm sure you might have a backlog, but you might want to try to make an appointment. So one of the questions I have to ask is taking a step back. That's kind of easier said than done sometimes. With all of the social media and just the connectivity to the phone, for example, people are so intrigued with likes and being somehow, I just don't have the same bone in my body that I need to be seen all the time and have people know everything that I do 24/7. Is that part of the problem? It wasn't like this 20, 30 years ago. Now everybody lives their life online.
Yeah, it has. So everything is a tool, right? So people will bring up anything, AI, social media. I always I'm like, we can't attack the tool. It's how we choose to wield that tool. A hammer can harm, destroy, kill. A hammer can also build. It's the same thing with social media. Social media, for me, has been an incredible way to connect with some of my greatest soul sisters. And we don't even live in the same country, some of us. And you have to come to a place where you're not seeking external validation. That's a guaranteed path to depression, anxiety, and severe disconnect from your spirit. And it's definitely easier said than done. But that's where the willingness comes in. And I'll kind of give an example of people are so used to a fast food nation. You order on Amazon, you might get it 5 to 10 p.m. on the same day, which is great on some things. But when we're healing, when we're actually reconnecting with our soul, that takes alignment. Doesn't necessarily have to take time. But because we're so programmed to be disconnected, it does usually take time and repetition. And I was never somebody who could feel energy or frequency at all. My husband could feel the tiniest thing. He would blow out blackberries back when blackberries were around. And he could always feel things. And I was kind of frustrated because I didn't have that ability. But I knew that I wanted it and I knew it was real. And for years, it took me years, and I work in frequency medicine, of just showing up and just knowing, okay, I am going to continue to clear this density. I'm going to continue to align with the ability to tap into the subtleties of life. And now not only can I feel them, my abilities to tap into the information field that somebody is emitting, which we all have, has risen at degrees that amaze most people. But it wasn't overnight. It wasn't even in a year. It was years of repetition. It was years of willingness to show up because I knew the outcome that I wanted to get to, and I knew it was possible. And I think that that's the biggest mindset shift is we as a collective, we as individuals need to step out of this. I want it. Veruca Salt from Willy Wonka. I want it and I want it now. We all have a Veruca Salt in us, but we know what happened to her in that film. And if we do not curb that aspect of us and learn to be patient and learn to show up, even when we're not seeing results that we want immediately, that's what refines us as an individual. And that's actually how our soul is able to evolve and grow and start taking the lead, because the soul is infinitely patient. The human is the one that's impatient.
That's a great point. And that brings me to a question that you just jogged in me, which is this individual pursuit of getting to know yourself, of loving yourself versus being part of a collective or a whole. And I mean, in the baseline sense, you know, in the worldly sense, because to me, it seems like people are being put into pods where they're someone's better than somebody else. Somebody took it from you. You're a victim, or you're special. Yeah. All these things that are not of God, they're not divine, and they're manufactured, but they're just, it's really, if you're in this world and of this, it just inundates you. It mm-hmm. permeates you. And I think it blocks you from being able to be an individual. What's your thoughts on that?
You are absolutely right. My husband and I talk about this all the time. And I love the word you use, pod, because it immediately just makes me think of the Matrix, you know, with the humans inside pods, but they also have collective groupings of pods, race, religion, job, what level your degree is. I mean, they're all constructs. They're all man-made. And one of the greatest questions is, did this come from man or did this come from God? And so many, my husband and I were having this conversation earlier today. Truthfully, you either know God or want to know God or you don't. It's beyond belief. Beliefs are still constructs, and they're things that we have been told instead of experiencing. And I think that we really need to step into the journey of the alchemist, the journey of, do I know God? I don't know. I believe in God, but I want to know him. So I need to start that journey. What does that look like for me? Do I know myself? I'm not really sure. I know parts of myself, and to start walking that journey. And that journey is not going to be easy. It's not meant to be. That's how we become strong. And if we never start the journey, though, if we just continue to sit in these groupings, in these pods, in these labels, in these separations, and everything else that this world has created, you cannot be happy, truly fulfilled in that state, because our soul, every single person here, I just know that every single person was created with a purpose. And not just person, animal, tree, plant, everything. And there, that purpose is something only each of us can fulfill. So that uniqueness, it's like, you know, some people are a liver cell. They're like, well, I want to be the brain cell. Well, we need the liver cells too. And so it's working like one body in the collective, but there is a role that we were uniquely and intentionally created for. And that is like, if it takes you your whole life to figure out what that is, let it take your whole life, because that's the reason that we're here, truly.
That's absolutely the way I believe that same thing. Yeah. And nobody's better than anybody else.
No.
Individually unique and perfect in God's image, right? So
yes,
I think living is the ability to figure all that stuff out, appreciate it, be grateful for it. And, you know, if people around you need your help, you get to help them.
Yes.
So you're providing safe space is not the right word, but how can I say you can not even coexist, but help each other, integrate, but still be separate. But it's beautiful. So it's just so limiting to see people cut their own blessings off, cut their own divinity off, and then be unhappy. But they don't stop there. They want to take you out with them. That's the problem. Yes. I have. If you want to be unhappy for yourself, I'm fine. But why do you have to hurt other people in the process? Because you're not happy.
It's that cliche, right? Misery loves company. It's like so true, though, because somebody's light and happiness and the ones who are truly walking in their path. We're all, our first language is energy, all of us, whether we admit it or not, it is. And we know when somebody's walking their path and truly seeking. And so that tends to shine light on where we're not doing it. And instead of looking at that as an invitation, they look at that as a projection of everything that they're not doing. And so then they project onto that person and it becomes this cycle. And so then people are afraid to step onto their path because they see this. And this is a behavior that is just, it has gone on for way too long. And we really need to mature out of this. It's absurd to me.
I agree. And then illness, as we said at the beginning of the show, is an outgrowth of that. I mean, if you can't express your essence in joy and somebody's thwarting that, or you allow it to happen. I mean, there's some instances where you're feeding it for lack of, you want to belong, for whatever reason, it's not benefiting you. And it's not selfish, in my opinion. You cannot give to others until you give to yourself. Truth. You cannot give to yourself until you know who you are. And everything falls. And then you don't care about what's going on, about negativity. Yeah. You just let it go.
Yes. Yes. The person who's walking their path of purpose doesn't have the interest, time, or energy to even try to derail someone else.
No, they don't.
No.
If we could just get that into the collective consciousness, that would be really awesome.
I know. Like, we need to inject that code into the matrix.
It's true. But, you know, I'm finding more people, if you shine your light and you have somebody who actually is doing the same thing, you kind of find each other, I'm noticing.
Yes.
And then when that connection happens, it's just really synergistic. It's awesome. And it's like a force field against all of this, because you know you're not alone, even though you've got God is with you. But we're living on this earth and we do have to interact with everybody. So just to have people like, this is not weird. I'm thinking things that other people think, and it's good, you know? Goodness is good.
Yes. And I really feel that there's a lot more people who have the things on their heart that we're talking about here today, and that they are truly desiring to walk their path and connect with others, but they're afraid of being, the deepest human wound is being like excommunicated, exiled, and cut off. And that has been used as a weapon, a huge weapon. And we really need to say, you know what? We never created this weapon. This weapon was created against us. So why are we wielding this? And we need to lay this down and instead say, okay, this person is saying this, it's triggering me, or this person's walking their path and I'm feeling a certain kind of way that I don't like. Why? Let me reflect on why, because the answer is only going to come from within me. It's not their fault and it's not something out there. And that's another technique of just slowing down. And triggers are actually gifts. They're opportunities for us to heal and learn more about ourselves. They're wounds that on the other side of healing that become the medicine and the power.
So when people, for example, come and you can, you know, people are who come to your clinic, I'm sure, are more out mindful and they realize that something is wounded. I need the tools, the modalities to unlock that. How do you start with somebody who, because they come in with, you know, for us in the medical side, the things like POTS and autoimmune conditions and traumatic brain injuries, where these are deep-seated medical issues and they're not easily treated. And they're certainly not going to be treated well with things that mask it, right? So narcotics and things that go on, and they're nearly not better. So how do people start that process? And it's a big question, but I just want to start that opening that door so people can feel that there is something outside that I don't have to just suffer.
Yeah. So my clinic specifically is a very targeted, specialized clinic. So even on the site, you'll read, I'm set up for the 3% that nothing else has worked for. So they have even tried natural allopathic, functional medicine, acupuncture, the traditional natural ways, and it's still not working. So I'm not the first place people find. They're not ready for this work. So I'm usually the last place people land. So just from the way that I work with people and just my soul's purpose and essence, I'm not able to do surface level healing or entry level healing. So I know my role and I know my purpose and I know who I'm here for. And if people come in too early, it's going to set off a sequence of events that kind of trigger them, because the mirror that's reflecting back to them is happening before they're ready. So for my particular clinic and my work, it's towards the end of the journey after they've exhausted other options and tried things. But for somebody who's just starting out, usually there's something that's saying, for me, when I was just prescribed anxiety and depression was some of the symptoms from, honestly, it was repressed trauma that I didn't know I was repressing, and it was storing in my body and manifesting as all sorts of things. And of course, nobody talks to you about any of that. They just prescribe you pills that I could feel my soul's tether disconnecting from my body. I'm like, if I continue this path, I'm not going to be here much longer. Not from a suicidal perspective, just because my soul could not stay tethered to the body when it was being pushed out from these drugs. So something in me, it was just an inkling, and I was a teenager at this point, and it said that God did not make us to suffer. God did not make these bodies to not be able to heal. What is wrong? And questions are what will take us on that journey. So you just, that little inkling, like, something's not quite sitting right. Explore that. Ask further questions. Deepen your search within that. And from there, you'll start to say, I wonder what else is possible. What else could be out there that nobody's going to tell me, but I can seek and I will find. That is where my journey started, and it led me all the way here. So those inklings, those things, follow them, seek them, and start your path, and it will lead you to who, what, and where you need to be.
I think that's a great place to take our second break so people can chew on that for a minute. So let's second break. You're living in the solution.
You're listening to Dr. Elena George, advocate for living in the solution.
This is Dr. Elena George. I'd like to thank you for listening to Living in the Solution. You're what makes this show great. If you like it, please share it with your friends, subscribe to the podcast, follow me on Twitter at Living in the Solution, and follow me on my website, drelenageorge.com.
Welcome back to Living Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Anna Blessing. And it takes courage, doesn't it, to not just go along with the flow when you know you're somehow being damaged by it, and to take a step off of that path.
Yes.
Go ahead. I'm so sorry.
I love that you brought up courage, because are you familiar with Dr. David Hawkins' work in the scale of consciousness?
No.
Oh my goodness. You must dive into Dr. David Hawkins. So his story is, he was an MD, PhD atheist, incredibly successful. I think it was Beth Israel in New York, if I remember correctly. He had the most incredible life-changing shift and encounter with God, and he did a 180. And so he has put out the most incredible books on consciousness and healing and all of the things we're speaking about. He's one of my favorite authors. He passed away in Sedona in 2012, but he left a body of work that is incredible. So he created and scientifically proved what's called the scale of consciousness. Courage. So it goes between 0 to 1,000. So under 200, you will only create destructive energy in your life. This is if you calibrate to this. And there are ways that you can go and be tested to figure out where your calibration is. We all oscillate between, you know, we'll have moments of grief. I know you and I spoke a bit about that on our last time together. Grief happens, but oscillating and staying stuck in grief is a different thing. That's like a 50. It's really low on the scale of consciousness. So if you're calibrating under 200, you do not have the capacity to have creative energy and constructive energy enter your reality. And we all know those people where everything wrong always goes wrong. And if you're around them, things start going wrong for you. This is why. So courage is 200. That is the turning point where you start shifting into constructive and creative energy. And then it goes up from there, you know, from 200 all the way up to like peace, joy, enlightenment are up on the higher octaves. But we can change our calibration, which is the frequency we hold on a consistent and permanent basis. And it requires courage to be able to shift out of destructive energy into constructive energy. So that is the most important thing to have. So I love that you brought that up, because it does take courage to go against the grain. It does take courage to say, I want to change my life. I want to change the things in my life. I want a different life than I'm living now. It absolutely takes courage, because you have to leave the familiar.
Mm-hmm. And I guess it does take energy too, because it's, you just, if you're sapped and you're just lying around in your bed all day, you don't have the energy to do anything, that will keep you in the same spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if, I think all of us have had moments of courage. And for me, and I don't know, maybe you can share your experience after, but whenever I've had those moments of courage, like, we know when we choose courage, you feel it. It's tangible. You get the energy. It's kind of wild. It's like, as soon as you say yes and you choose courage, it's like your cells spark up, even if it's just temporary, enough to get you through whatever that is that you're doing. I don't know if you've had the same experience.
I have, actually. I mean, living is that, right? But
yeah.
Going to school, losing friends and family, and really choosing not to wallow and not to do something that is not constructive, but to take that love, right? You can,
mm-hmm.
The fact that you had parents or brothers or sisters or loved ones, and that love doesn't die. It just translates into something else, right? Energy is neither created or destroyed.
Yes.
And using that, like, I'm blessed to have had this person in my life. That's a good thing. Everything they ever taught me, I'm using now. And they would be really super happy about it, as opposed to what I don't have. It's what you do have. And it's just that change in energy and gratitude. To me, that was the thing that helped me the most, just to list what I'm grateful for. There's so
yes.
many more things that you're grateful for than what you don't have. And if you don't have it, you can get it, right? So
yes,
that's really what the change.
Yes, it's, you know, they talk about gratitude. I mean, this is an age-old thing, but it's because it works. And there's a great book called Thank and Grow Rich. I know everybody's heard Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, but this is Thank and Grow Rich. And it has an abundance of different gratitude exercises aside from just writing things down that actually activate gratitude in your life in a tangible way. I love that book. I recommend that to a lot of people who come in here too, because I've been there. I think we all have, where we just focus on everything we don't have or everything we don't like, whether it's ourselves, the world, others, your spouse. And it just does not create a very positive environment and it zaps you. So shifting perspective is the most transformative way to start stepping out of the old.
So you said it's not just writing, right? I keep a journal. And I find that that makes me be present and in the moment. And then it flows. Is there another modality that would help people if they're not into that, that could help them shift?
So I would suggest just getting the book Think and Grow Rich, because like we talked about earlier, how we're all so different. So she writes the book with the exercises to basically tap into any type of personality where there's something in there that will work for anyone, even if they're not a journaler or a writer, or if that doesn't do much for them. So I love that book because you get to discover like, what is the exercise in here that really does it for you?
Well, that's good. So again, what makes this so wonderful, it's not this, prescription where only one way to do it. What is it? Oh my gosh, what we call it in medicine, evidence-based. Where it's really not evidence-based. It's just what the algorithms, you know, from on high have put out there that if it's wet, you dry it. If it's this, you go down this path without any forethought, any kind of introspection, any kind of get to know the patient and the person that they are, because you're right. Everybody is different. And it'll work for some people, but it won't work for everybody. Mm-hmm. It's not that it's a bad thing. It just doesn't work for you. So you find something else. It's so black and white. And if the system is based on, if it doesn't fit our criteria, then it doesn't exist or it's not valuable. That's where people, I think, really need to turn inward. You are valuable. It doesn't matter what the system says about you.
Yes.
Or your colleagues or your doctors. Interesting. I had a patient today who said she got into a screaming match, literally, with her doctor because they wanted to diagnose her with something that she didn't have. And she was wrong. And had they put her on the medicine, she would have been, with all the side effects, not thriving. So I applauded her.
Yeah.
Standing up for yourself. You know your body better than anybody.
Yes.
And it should be collegial. And if person just says, and he said to her, you're going to die if you don't do this. I couldn't believe it.
Oh my gosh.
Shocking, right? So everybody, I don't care if patient or not, if you know that this is not for you, there's no wrong in stepping away, finding another opinion, moving away from that individual, and boundaries, right? Is that another thing that people really need to start cultivating? The boundaries that I'm not doing this. I don't care what you say. It's not for me. And I'm happy with that. Is that something important to do?
Yeah, it's interesting. There's a couple points on there. But the first thing is overriding that intuition, that innate knowing. And so many people look to an external authority to tell them what they can and can't do. I mean, COVID's a perfect example. And it's just insane how much we have given our power away, which makes us easy to manipulate. And the medical system is fantastic at using fear and death as a way to force what they think somebody needs. And it's awful. It's actually a form of extreme abuse. And yet they want to trust them because they're like, well, wait, you're supposed to be here to help me heal and to take care of me, which is obviously, we know it's not been that way for a very long time. Not all in the system is like that, but overall, you're kind of limited with insurance. You can spend no more than like 10 minutes with somebody. It's all become a business base. And unfortunately, the human encounter and interaction and partnership has moved away. And even in the vet industry, it's become very much like that. And we have an amazing holistic vet. And him and I will constantly brainstorm with my dogs. And he always chooses the path of natural holistic first. But there has been a couple times where we needed some medication to help my elderly dog over a bridge to help his nervous system adapt and recalibrate. And he works with me, and I'm open to hearing those suggestions. So also recognizing everything has a place. And when we are doing the best thing for whatever beings in front of us, human or animal, that's the most important piece. And then there are other times where people have become so boundary obsessed where they think it's a boundary when it's actually fear of stepping into an invitation to change. So it can also be taken to an extreme, like anything on that end.
That's a really subtle and important point. And, you know, I want to take our last break, because I don't want to stop you from your stream of consciousness. So let's take our last break and come back. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Anna Blessing. And again, you can go to her website, TucsonBiofeedback.com. And it's a wealth of information. And a lot of the modalities that you offer are unique, are they not? I mean, if energy is the thing that really drives our existence, what are some of the modalities, if you can speak to, that people can partake of to kind of jumpstart? Because we're doing what we just talked about is what you do on your own in terms of thinking different, shifting your consciousness, shifting your mindfulness. But there are modalities that actually support that, correct?
Yes, absolutely. That's what the clinic has been structured around, is bringing in, I have 10 different modalities, all backed by research and evidence-base, which I understand that the greatest evidence is our own body's response more than anything else. But so if people are kind of, it depends what they're looking for. So lens neurofeedback, there are practitioners all across the country. That is amazing for any type of like anxieties, depression, OCDs, kind of faulty mental and neurological health patterns. And so lens neurofeedback, if you have a practitioner in your area, I strongly suggest diving in a little bit more and looking into that. Frequency specific microcurrent is one of my favorites. I usually combine lens with FSM for short. And we, in essence, reboot the brain and nervous system completely. You can have a brand new brain and nervous system, even with TBIs and concussions and all sorts of things, with multiple treatments, because it, in essence, helps restore the brain, the cells, the tissue, and the function to the way it was supposed to. So it's really incredible. So what I do here is I combine modalities. A lot of places you'll only be able to get one of them. When I combine them, they all work synergistically. And that's kind of my gifting and ability, is seeing things as a recipe and seeing where they fit and which type of programs somebody needs or protocols. Things to do at home. Terahertz technology is one of my favorites. I still use it daily. PEMF and terahertz. So I have a combination. It's like a foot plate that I use every single day. And it just charges my cells. It charges my cells. It grounds my system. It allows and harmonizes my entire flow and meridians. And so that's something that you don't need a, you know, license, or it's not a medical device or anything. So diving into terahertz technology and PEMF, those are fantastic for at home. And the research on the PEMF is immense. It comes out of NASA. The terahertz in the United States, they look at it more from a diagnostic perspective, because we're just obsessed with diagnosing and not actually healing. So out of Asia, most of their research for the past two decades has been on the healing aspects of the terahertz. You won't really be able to find a lot of those studies unless you have connections here in the States. But I have been working with terahertz and the PEMF combination for almost 3 years now, with incredible results personally and with people who actually purchase and use the equipment from home.
When you talk about TBI, that's really an interesting disease process to me, because it's like the people relive. I mean, I do disability exams for veterans, and it's like they relive the trauma. It's like a rut. Like it's just a loop almost and a pathway. And I have a colleague who does hyperbaric oxygen, but this is it rewiring the pathway so that they stop having this cause effect, and the neural pathway is just kind of set by the thought. You automatically just go down that path. Does it create a new channel, for lack of a better way to put it? And does it heal? Because it's injury, really, right? A cellular, it's a physical injury that has a neurological component to it. Is that one way you can think about it?
Yeah. And TBI, some people don't know, the traumatic brain injury, which is not always just physical, as you know, it can be extreme emotional injury too. And especially childhood trauma, it shrinks the hippocampus, right? So there's an alteration even in the brain structure with people who have grown up with alcoholic parents and been in emotionally abusive, it doesn't even have to be physically abusive, homes. So TBI, hyperbaric oxygen chambers, are amazing. But what I have found is it's almost like you want to bring that in and nourish and feed the brain after the pathways have been shifted. So I've had a lot of people who have done, 120 hyperbaric chambers, but their patterns and pathways hadn't changed. So when they come in here, with the lens, the FSM, and the different modalities we do, usually we have to bring in some type of very gentle but effective cellular detox, because the brain becomes a toxic soup, and then that feeds this feedback loop. And yes, you in essence are clearing the old patterns and pathways that are setting off this feedback loop of high stress, midbrain reactivity that's playing in the background virtually 24/7. And it's unplugging those old pathways, is kind of a good visual, and then allowing the brain to create new ones that are based on each of our individual optimal brain. So again, there's no one right brain function. My optimal brain is going to have different pathways than yours and Susie's and Tom's. And that's also what's important, is allowing the modalities I use don't force the brain to do anything. It helps reharmonize and recalibrate our own brain and nervous system to optimize to our highest health, which I think is really important, because so many times we think we know best, or we're trying to force ourselves or somebody else to be or do something instead of allowing our innate intelligence to actually go in with the tools. Once those malfunctions are cleared and it has the tools that it needs and it's communicating in our body's language, which is frequency, every brain portion, every tissue, every issue, every food has a frequency signature. So we're communicating in the exact language that our body speaks. It's absolutely miraculous what can unfold.
Well, you just described that the body is self-healing.
Yes.
If you get out of the way.
Yes. We're in the way too often.
Or the medications that we're taking is taking us farther away from balance and healing.
Yes.
I mean, it's just, this is what healthcare and medicine should be. And it's such a, it shouldn't be undergrounded. Everybody should know this so that they can partake of it. And it's, I'm just really blessed to know you, because I think what you do is God's work, literally. One thing I wanted to ask too is about POTS, because that's another one of those diagnoses that I've seen a few times, and people are just miserable. And all sorts of metformin and things to, I don't even know why they're on that most of the time, but it's all sorts of things that I don't, why? And is there a trigger for it? Is it based on trauma? How does that, do you have any idea how it pops up? And it's mostly women, is it not?
Mm-hmm. It is. Majority of the time it is women. And so pre-COVID and pre-COVID shots, which obviously we know COVID was made in a lab now, so it's not even a natural pathogen. So before that, because there's two expressions of POTS, it was tied to some type of heart shock event, whether they remembered it or not, or associated it as a traumatic or shock event that then literally in a moment repatterned the nervous system and the brain. So that is what I noticed pre-COVID and pre-COVID shots, was if we could trace back to the event, then sometimes in a single session when I have a different system bowed, we could actually go in and change the amygdala where it patterned. So from that perspective, yes, it is very layered. So typically there's a histamine issue. A lot of times there's a mold exposure. There's something that makes you susceptible. So what happens is it becomes this recipe that then we have to unwind and bring in different ingredients to the recipe. So when we work with POTS, we have great success, but it is a very comprehensive approach. And we have to work with the brain, the nervous system, the emotional aspect, the histamine aspect, and a very slow and gentle cellular detox process. Because when you detox physically, you're also detoxing emotionally. When you detox emotionally, you're detoxing physically. Now, post-COVID and post-COVID shots, I mean, I guess you could really say that's a shock too. You know, when you are exposed to something and then the whole collective situation, there is a shock element there. But that has brought in another level of difficulty that you have to start to unwind as well, because there's this odd, unnatural physical manifestation, but that physical manifestation also came with some strange spiritual and emotional connections too that also have to be addressed. So I've noticed that the POTS there, it's changed a little bit since that moment in time.
And for those who don't know what POTS is, can you explain what just the overall symptoms? I know that people, it's orthostatic issues, they get dizzy, they have a lot of postural problems, and what else do they have?
So a lot of times, usually it's not just POTS, some other things. Sometimes they'll have mast cell issues, fibromyalgia, and some other things. But really, their quality of life is so awful, where you just feel sick, like unwell every day to a varying degree. And then a big one is you're sitting and then you stand up and your heart rate can sometimes shoot up to like 200 beats per minute. It just skyrockets. So you can't really exercise. And usually doctors will just tell you, change your diet and exercise, but you can't when you have POTS. On top of that, a lot of them will come in with headaches, just because it can be blood pressure related headaches. It can just be the dysautonomia, which is a dysregulated nervous system. That is a major manifestation of the POTS. And so a dysregulated nervous system can show up as blood sugar issues. Maybe that's why they're putting on metformin, just trying it. It can show up as headaches and migraines. Fainting is an extreme when they get to the point where people have fainted, and then sometimes then they get a concussion on top of that. So the symptoms are in essence, make it impossible to work a job and live. Most people are incapacitated from the POTS symptoms. So it's a real tough thing to live with.
Got you. And the last thing, I know we're getting close to the end of the show, but I wanted to touch base on mold, because mold issues are ubiquitous. I mean, here in the South, it's a major deal. And now we've had all these floods across mm-hmm. the country, literally, and people are living in mold situations in homes and work related, you know, they just can't escape it. Is mold, you know, is it as toxic as it appears to be?
So yes, on one level. There is a fantastic YouTube channel, and it's Phineas Quimby, and they talk about how there's only one poison in the world, which I do agree with, and that is the poison of fear. And then when we live with fear, which all of us do until we work through and unwind that, attracts other external toxins. But that's a conversation for another day for sure. But mold as an actual toxin is extremely problematic. And here, believe it or not, in Tucson, people don't think mold's an issue. It's a huge issue out here. Huge. So we work with a lot of mold poisoned individuals, and that will manifest in all sorts of different symptoms, and from psychological to physiological. And a lot of times it takes years before people will figure it out. I think it's a bigger issue than people realize. And I think that that feeds depression and anxiety as well. And depending on the sensitivity of the individual, obviously there's some genetic factors. How to address mold does need to be addressed individually with the person. And you really want to find somebody who's mold literate to be able to help that. the lens neurofeedback actually helps the brain create new pathways where the mold can actually start to find its way out too when you have a gentle cellular detox. So I have seen great success with mold, and I think that that's probably a test that every MD should be running, but they don't. So if you feel like there's something off and going on, I would suggest demanding, not asking. I've learned to tell people, you tell your doctor what you want and which tests you want so they can get that ran. Mycotoxins in mold is a huge test that definitely I suggest almost everyone running if they're having strange symptoms that they're not sure where they're coming from.
That's a good piece of advice. You know, it's such a wonderful conversation. I hate to bring it to an end because I just love speaking with you.
Thank you. I know it always goes so fast.
I know. For those who want to reach you, how can they do that?
The best way is just go to the website first, because it's really helpful to just read a lot more about what we do, which is TucsonBiofeedback.com.
Dr. Blessing, thank you so much for joining me today. It's always a blessing and an honor to talk with you. Thanks again, and thank you everybody for living in the solution.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.